Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Pei Hei. We're holding on the bottom of Pei Dalid Amid Beis, the fourth wide line where the Gemara begins Itmar. And the Gemara tells us about a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish in the halacha of Shviras Atzamois on Pesach. Everybody knows that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the Pasuk says very clearly, the Etzem Loisishberu Boy. You're not allowed to go and break any of the bones of the Karban Pesach. Aha. Any of the bones? No. Only those bones which have a ro'i la'achila. What do you mean that they're ro'i la'achila? That they have on the outside, they have at least a kezayis basar. Now, how do I know? So let's go back to the last of the narrow lines. Tisanya Rebbe Oimer, we're now on to the first of the wide lines, back on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, says Rebbe. It says in the Pasuk, Bebayis Echad Yi Ochel, eat the Karban Pesach in one chabura, in one place. The Etzem Leisish Bruvai, and don't break any bones. Al Abos Ruchayiv, in a Chayiv Al Abos, Al Kosh Ruchayiv, etc. Now skip a line, and the next line says, middle of the line, Yesh Poi Shiur Achilah. If on the outside of the bone there's a shear achila, which means that there's a shear of at least a kezayis of basar, yesh poim mishum shviras etzem. Then there's a loch of shviras atzamos. Ein boi shear achila. However, if on the outside of the bone you do not have a kezayis of basar, ein boi mishum shviras etzem, then there's no din of shviras atzamos. Fine. So bottom line is, we have Rebbe says in this brisa, the only bones that you're not allowed to break are those that have a kezayis of basar on the outside. Says now the Gemara, Itmar, fourth wide line. Eivir she'en alav kezayis basar b'mokim zeh, v'yesh alav kezayis basar b'mokim acher. What happens if you decide you have a long eivir, a long bone, you do want to cut it open on Seder night, and we just said now that the only Isser is if there's a Shir Achila, if there's Basar outside. You know what? I'm going to go and cut it on that part of the bone where there is very little, or in fact, no meat whatsoever. So we just said now in the Brisa, if there's no Shir Achila, there's no Din of Shviras Etzem. Yeah. But there is no Kzai's Basar there. But if you move to the left or you move to the right of the bone, there is basar on the other side. Okay, so is there an isur of shviras etzem? Is a machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Is okimara eber she'en alav kezayis basar b'mokim zeh? Where you want to cut it, there is no kezayis basar. But there's yesh lo kezayis basar b'mokim acher. But on another part of the eva, there is a kezayis basar. What do you do? Is a machloek. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar yesh boi mishmuris etzem. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar ein boi mishum shviras etzem. Machloek is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says it's aser. Rabbi Shimon Reish Lakish says it's mutter. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Shimon Lakish. It says in the pasuk etzem lo yisish bruvoi. Zok de braisa. Echad etzem sheyesh alav kezayis basar, v'echad etzem she'ein alav kezayis basar. The Braisa tells us it makes no difference if the etzem has a kezayis basar. If it doesn't have a kezayis basar, the din of etzem leisish bruvoi applies. Frey Timar, my ein alav kezayis basar. What does it mean in the Braisa that it does not have a kezayis basar? Ilema de ein alav kezayis basar klal. There's no basar at all. Didn't we just get finished saying that according to Rebbe, the only time there's an Isser Shviras Etzem is if there is Yesh Boi Shir Achila, that there is enough for a Shir Achila on the bone. But here, there is no Shir Achila. In fact, there's nothing. If there is no Basar, why is there a Din of Shviras Etzem at all? After all, there's no basar. Elav, Muzman zogn, that the pshat and the price is the following. Hachi kama, echad etzem sheyesh alav kezayis basar b'mokim zeh, v'echad she'en alav kezayis basar b'mokim zeh. that there is Kzayis Basar on the right, but there's no Kzayis Basar on the left. And I'm going to go and cut the etzem on the right-hand side where there is no basar. And that's what the Braisa says, that is asur. Is the charaya to Rabbi Yochanan shmer on Reish Lakish? Everyone omale, loy. Now that's not the pshat in the Braisa. The whole kasha on Reish Lakish is based on that the Braisa says, echad etzem sheyesh lo basar, the echad etzem she'en lo kzayis basar. So to mahalchi kolam pshat is azoy. Echad etzem sheyesh lo kzayis basar mi bachutz. The echad etzem she'en lo kzayis basar mi bachutz. The yesh lo kzayis basar mi bifnim b'mokim shvira. The pshat in the braisa is, in one case we're talking about a bone that has all types of meat on the outside. It's a bone with a lot of meat on it. Avad is a din of shviras etzem. And then you have an etzem that has no meat on the outside, but you know that this is a marrow bone, that there's marrow in the inside. Also asur, because the din of the etzem leisishbruvoi comes to tell you, don't break atzamois that have basar. The basar doesn't have to be external basar, it can be internal basar, meaning the marrow inside. And if you think that this is a far-fetched pshat, no, it's not. V'hatanya, p'losha nichusa. I'll bring you a raya from the following braisa. The etzem leisish bruvoy, echad etzem sheyesh boi moyach, v'yechad etzem she'ein boi moyach. Sai an etzem, a bone that has in it marrow, and sai a bone that does not have in it marrow. Doesn't have marrow, and there's an isur of shviras etzem. Umani mekayim v'ochlus abosar b'layla hazeh, v'bosar she'al gabio etzem, oy eina ele v'bosar she'betoicho etzem. What the Gemara is asking is the following. Avad is a din of shviras atzamos. However, if inside the etzem there happens to be marrow, why don't I go and say, I have an asay, which is doicha aloy sese. What is the asay? The asay is, the ochlu es habasar balayla hazeh, tzli eshu matzois. The ochlu es habasar. All Jews are commanded to go and eat the basar of the Karim Pesach. No, if you're telling me marrow inside the bone is considered to be like basar, so I want to eat that basar. To get to it, I have to go and break open the etzem. So I have an asay, doicha aloy sesay. And that's what's bothering there for the Bryce. That's what the Bryce is asking. Start the Bryce again. Fourth line. Vatanya. The etzem leisish bruvoy. Echad etzem sheyesh boi moyach, v'echad etzem she'en boi moyach. Both a bone that has marrow and a bone that does not have marrow. And therefore, don't break open the bone, even the one that has marrow. The pasuk tells you that you're supposed to eat up the basar. It means the external meat, not the internal marrow. And therefore, that's what the mitzvah of achilas basar is. And don't break the bone. Zok the price, or maybe not. Maybe it's talking about the basar inside the etzem. Or mani mekayim ve'etzem leisishbuvoy be etzem she'ein boi moyach, by a bone that does not have any moyach at all. Those are the atzamas that you should not break, because there's no purpose in breaking them. There's no meat inside. Maybe the atzamas that have marrow, you should break open and you should eat. Why? Valtisma shar yovei asay, the asay of the ochlu es habosar balayla hazeh will be doicha v'loy seseh of shvirasa etzem. So that sounds like a plausible pshat. The pasuk that we keep on quoting is from the Pesach Rishon. Pesach Rishon says, "Babayis echad yiyochel leisoytzim and abayis min abasar chutzah v'etzem leisishruvay." Okay, now that's one pasuk. But I have another pasuk. This pasuk is by Pesach Sheni. Lo yashiru mimenu ad boike, the etzem lo yishbru boy. K'chol chukas ha-Pesach yasu oisoi. That the korban Pesach sheni, you should make exactly like the Pesach rishon, and make sure not to go and break open the etzem. So Freit Dimara, she'ein tam aloyim, why do I need to repeat this din of shviras atzamos? Sherek v'an emek k'chol chukas ha-Pesach yasu oisoi. Do the Pesach sheni exactly like the Pesach rishon. They should be mirror images of each other. And therefore, Zokti Yomara, Hevi Oymer, the reason why the Pasuk repeats it a second time, Echad Etzim She'esh B'Moyach, the Echad Etzim She'ein B'Moyach, that in all cases you have an Isser of Shviras Ho Etzim. And so therefore, Zokti Yomara, that's therefore the Pshat back on the Omid Beis. When we spoke back on the Omid Beis, the Etzim Le'shish B'Ruvoy, Echad Etzim She'esh Lov K'zayis Basar, the echad etzim she'en lov kazayis baser, which means not like Rabbi Yochanan learned that it was kazayis baser in mokum acher and it was empty on the second side, and therefore we see from that brisa like Rabbi Yochanan that you're not allowed to break an etzim even if in that place there is no baser, but only because there's baser on the other part of the bone. Says Rish Lakish, no, that's not what the pasuk is coming to tell you. Pasuk has come to tell you both whether there happens to be external meat from the outside of the bone or this internal meat, this marrow inside the bone. Under both circumstances, the halach is don't break open the bone.
So it doesn't then refute Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, I don't see how this is helping Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, okay, Echad Etzim She'esh.
Reish Lakish said on the Amud Beis,
right,
that if you have a situation of an Eivir She'ena Lov Kizayis Boser V'mokim Zeh V'yesha Lov Kizayis Boser V'mokim Acher, you want to cut open this Eivir and break it where there is no Boser, even though there's Boser on the rest of the bone, says Reish Lakish, it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because on that spot where you want to break it, there is no basa. Right? Just make sure that where you're cutting with the meat cleaver to break the etzem, make sure that over there is no basa. Ask Rabbi Yochanan. But the Braisa says that the dinner of Shvidus etzem applies both to an etzem that has basa and to an etzem that does not have basa. Oh, so you see that even though there's no basa where you want to go and cut it, nevertheless, the din of Shvidus Etzim applies. That was Akash and Reish Lakish. Says Reish Lakish, you are misinterpreting this Braiser. The Braiser is not referring to an Etzim that has Basar on one side and doesn't have a Basar on the other side, but rather it's talking about a bone that has no Basar from the outside but has marrow in the inside. And that's what the Braiser is. Echad Etzim Shiesh Boy Basar, meaning from the outside. The Echad Etzem she'ein by baser from the outside, but it has marrow from the inside. On both of them, you have a din of you're not allowed to be shoiver eso etzem. However, it says Reish Lakish, if you have a bone that has, for instance, meat on the right, but has no meat on the left, and we are cutting it on the left, there's also no marrow inside, so you have nothing from the outside, nothing from the inside, then you're allowed to go and cut the bone according to Reish Lakish.
How could that be? Because when you cut that bone, there's no purpose in terms of asay dochalosa asay to get marrow. If it's a marrowless bone, which has only meat on the far side, mm-hmm. and you're cutting it, you're breaking a bone, shaloba makam mitzvah. What's the purpose? Why is there support to Reish Lakish? I thought actually that this braisa helped Rabbi Yochanan. Certainly, if you can't break a bone that has no marrow inside, you certainly can't shatter a bone that he has marrow inside and only has meat externally on the far side. Why is that a support for Reish Lakish? I think actually it refutes him.
Because according to Reish Lakish, we're only talking about a bone where on the side where you're cutting it, there's nothing. Nothing from the inside, nothing from the outside. What this price is telling you is that we reckon with both moyach from the outside and moyach with the inside. The case that Reish Lakish is talking about is that there is basar on one side, but it's totally barren on the other side. And he says, as long as it's barren, then you're allowed to go and cut in that spot where there's nothing.
But if you can't cut when there's no moach inside, there's no moach inside, mm-hmm. How is the asei tochalos? I really don't understand. How is the asei tochalos asei? There's no marrow inside. Breaking this bone has no utility. There's no moach to retrieve inside to eat. So what's the point of breaking it? It seems like a chav homer. Marach, if there's moach inside, you can't break it. There's no moach inside, you can't break it. Take the meat from the far side and be done. What's the point of breaking it? Isn't it a chav homer? I mean, maybe it's early. I don't understand this. I'm not trying to be hard.
I understand you're not trying to be hard at all. Uli Bryce is talking. What the Gemara is telling us is that Rish Lakish's halacha and the Bryce's halacha are apples and oranges. The Rish Lakish is talking about an etzem where there is basar on one side and there's no basar on the other side. And therefore, even though there's basar on the right side, as long as you cut it on the left side, you're okay. The Bryce, when it talks about etzem sheyesh by basar, etzem she'ein by basar, is all talking about not that it was barren on the outside, but rather whether there was basar from the outside and basar inside in terms of the marrow. And the Braisa says about that, as long as there's basar somewhere, either from the outside or from the inside, don't go and break open the bone. But if it's totally barren, if there is no basar outside and no basar inside, says Rish Lakish, you'll have to go and break it. And in fact, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees to that if you have a bone that has no meat inside or outside, you're allowed to go and break the bone. The only problem over here is that what happens if you have a bone that has meat on the other side? It's a long bone, it's a foot long. On the right-hand side there's meat. On the left-hand side there is no meat. Would you be allowed to go and cut through that bone if there's neither moyach and there's no meat? Says Rabbi Yochanan, the presence of the meat on the other side causes it to be asr. According to Rish Lakish, as long as where I'm cutting there is no meat and no moyach and nothing, I'm allowed to go and cut through it without any problems. Okay? Why don't we go back to it later? Thank you, Moyach. Noch a kasha on Rish Lakish. Meisvei. Eiver, shiotz miktsosoi, choytech an mokim shemagir le'etzem ve'koylef ad shemagir le'perek ve'choytech. This is the Mishnah Miyat Hashem, which we're going to learn on the Amud Beis. We're going to get to that later in the Shir. What does it say in the Mishnah? Eiver shiyotz miktsasoi. We have a behema that was geshachten. They shechted the Korban Pesach. And this Korban Pesach, part of the Korban Pesach, one of the Eivorim stood, was extended outside. What means outside? Outside of Yerushalayim, where therefore this aver of the Korban Pesach now becomes posel biyotze. You have an aver that went outside Yerushalayim, becomes posel biyotze. Okay, but not the entire Korban Pesach, only one aver that was sticking out, aver shiyotze miktase. So what do you do now? Choytech and mokim shemagir le'etzem. We don't want to break through the etzem, this is a long aver, a long etzem. We don't want to go and break it. We have the problem of etzem leisich bruvoi. So we're going to try to avoid that. But on the other hand, when we're doing the tzli, we don't want to do a tzli where part of the carbon is possible. So what should I do? So, aver shiyotze miktase, part of it went out. Let's say half of the aver went out. Choytech, you should take his meat cleaver or take his good knife and cut into the meat on this aver and mokim shemagil etzem until he reaches the bone. And cut off all of the meat that was on the bone that was outside that would became posel biyotze. And the meat that you're going to remove, of course you have to go and burn because it's a psul carbon. So you're going to have to go and burn that. Fine. So now what do I have now? I've taken this etzem and I've cut away the posel meat. Now I want to be able to eat the good meat. V'koylef, and now you should go and peel off the remaining meat, the kosher meat, so to speak, which remains on the bone, ad shemagir leperek, until you get all the way to the perek, meaning to the next joint. So you don't remove the meat. The kosher meat leave and have it attached to the meat of the next bone, which is beyond the joint. And now you're going to have meat which is just, in a sense, hanging there, but not attached to the bone because you've been kolef, you've peeled it off the bone. What have you accomplished? What you've accomplished is you've kept the kosher meat attached to the rest of the carbon, and now you have a bone which is now basically barren, because the bad meat you already took off and you put it for burning, and now you have the rest of the bone. Go all the way at your magil aperek until we get to the joint, v'choytech, and then cut off that first bad bone at the mokim of the joint. And therefore, I won't have a problem of cooking the carbon together with this bad bone. What am I going to do with the bad bone? If the bad bone has no moyach inside at all, I can just toss it. If it does have moyach inside, I'm going to have to wait until the first morning of Chol HaMoed, and I'll burn it because the moyach inside will have become noiser. And then I'm going to go and burn it together with all the other noiser. Like we had in the Mishnah before, Atzomais v'hagidin v'hanoiser, wait until the 16th, Chol HaMoed, and we'll burn it. So what have we accomplished? What we've accomplished is we've conserved now all of the kosher meat, and we have removed for burning the bad meat, that is the posle meat, and we've also removed the bad bone. And even though half of the bone was still kosher, but you can't break open the bone anyway, so just remove the bone. Again, if it happens to be empty of marrow, you can just toss it. And if it has marrow in it, we're going to burn it together with an iser. So now, that's what it says in the Mishnah on the Yomid base. The Gemara is now Medai. K'mi amris eivish she'en lov k'zayis basar, b'mokam zeh. V'yesh lov k'zayis basar, b'mokam acher. Ein boi mishum shvira se'etzem. If you're going to go and tell me, like Rish Lakish learns, that on the same bone, you have basar on the right, you have no basar on the left, you can go and cut through that part where there is no basar. Lomali de koylev at shemagia leperek, v'choytech. I have a better idea. Why do we say that you have to go and peel off all the good basar until I reach the joint, and then v'choytech, and cut off the bone at that point without breaking the bone, but just removing the bone by cutting through the joint? Niklef bei parta. I have a better idea. Why don't we just go and peel part of the basar off of this bone, so that now the bone will be barren, there won't be any basar on it, the nitbre, and break it over there, and just cut it off over there, and then toss the rest of the bone. After all, according to Reish Lakish, if there is no basar there, even though there's basar mamokam acher, who cares? If that spot there is no basar, just peel off an inch by inch or whatever, and cut through over there where there's no basar, and according to Reish Lakish, that's permissible. Everywhere, Abayom Mishim Poka. Abayi says, Me'ikra din, that would work. The problem is that when you are cutting through the bone, as a result of this major trauma to the bone, other parts of the bone may break at the same time. After all, a bone is not made out of steel. And therefore, whilst you're cutting the bone at one end, maybe that will cause the rest of the bone to become fragile somewhere else, and to break somewhere else where there still is basar on that bone, and therefore you're going to have a shviras etzem problem. So therefore, don't do it. Ravina Omar Bekulius. Ravina is talking, he said that we're talking about a bone that has moyach inside. Oh, so if it has moyach inside, then even Reish Lakish would agree you cannot cut through the bone at that spot, because you're cutting where there is meat. It's not external meat, it's internal meat, and therefore you're not allowed to cut the bone at that spot. So even though you have been successful at removing the external meat, but you got internal meat, and even Reish Lakish agrees, you're not allowed to go and cut a bone, b'mokim sheyesh boi kezayis basar. Zokimor tanan hasam. We've now concluded the machloikis between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to go off a little bit on a different sugya, having to do with that yotze that we spoke about, that part of the carbon became possible by yotze. We learned in the Mishnah, We've had this Mishnah already before, where this Mishnah comes to tell you that when you have a korban that became pigel, pigel, as you know, means that bishas the avoider, the kohen had a machshava hamefageles to go and eat this korban mechutzas manoi, then it becomes pigel, and if you eat it, it becomes kares. You get the din of kares. Vanoiser, if you left the korban beyond the zman that you're allowed to go and eat it, and now it became noiser, the loch is metamas yadayim. Now, it doesn't say anything about that in the Torah, and in fact, the whole concept of tumas yadayim is a concept of rabbanim, because min haTorah, if a person becomes tamei, the whole body becomes tamei, whether it's because of a sheretz or an avela, or whether it's a nida, or whether it's a zov, or a zova, or a metzoira, tumas mes, tumas sheretz, any tumah is a tumah of the entire body. This tumas yadayim that already gives you a clue that we're talking about midrabban. Now, why are pigel and noisim etame yadayim midrabban and rafuna rav chiz dechad om nei chashove kuhuna dechad om nei atzove kuhuna? One says because the kehanim were chashudin. Chashudin means they were suspected of foul play. And the other one says no, it's because the kehanim were atzlonim, because they were lazy. Now, we don't mean all the kehanim. The reason why they instituted this din of tumah, because of those select members of the otherwise elite group of kehanim that chas v'shalom were chashudim to do something bad, or again among this august elite group of kehanim there may have been some stragglers that were atzlonim, that were lazy. And the Gemara explains, it's not Rav Huna and Rav Chiz to have a machloikis, but rather each one is focusing on the other halacha, or one of the two halachas, meaning, mar masni apigul, mar masni anoiser. Man the masni apigul, the one that says that the reason is because of chashadi kahuna, he's talking about the pigul, mishim chashadi kahuna. Or man the masni anoiser, mishim atzoli kahuna. Now the noiser, mishim atzoli kahuna is very simple. That we're saying that we're afraid that there's some kahanim that are atzlanim, meaning they are lazy, and we tell them, come on, Yankel, schnell, eat up the carbon, it's soon going to become nicer. And he takes his time, I'll be right back, and he takes a break, and he's going to come, and he's going to go, and by the time you turn around, boom, the witching hour has hit, and unfortunately the extra meat, the extra carbon has become nicer. Now even though the Gemara talks about atzoli kahuna, Rashi says later in Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, that the same thing applies to Atzoli Yisra, because after all, it's not only the Kahanim that eat Karbonis, the Yisraelim also eat Karbonis, depending, of course, whether it's Kachi Kudishim or Kachim Kalim. All noisim metamnis yadayim, because of the Atzlanim, we want people to be sensitive to the idea that you have to be careful about eating your Karbonis Vizmanoi, and therefore, if you have some people that are delaying and are lazy, we tell them, Schnell, eat up, because otherwise your hands are going to become tamei, and anything that you're going to touch is going to become tamei. People take it more seriously. That's the pshat of the noiser. What's the pshat of the pigel mishim chashadi kahuna? Mishim chashadi kahuna means that unfortunately there are even among kehanim people that have midois loy toivois. They see a Yisrael that's bringing a carbon, a Yisrael that they do not particularly like for whatever reason, and he figures, I'm going to go and cause my friend, so to speak, friend, tzuris. What is the tzuris that I'm going to cause him? That when I'm going to go and do the shechita of the carbon, or the zrikas adam, I'm going to have in mind, what? That this carbon should be eaten chutz l'zmanoi, and the carbon is going to become pigul. Now the Gemara Masechtis Gittin tells us that when a kohen does that b'mezid, he's chayiv l'shalom. If it's b'shogeg, he's potim of l'shalom. What's the reason why? It's the sugya in Gittin and daf nun dalet. But what we are concerned is that the kohen is going to go and say to the balam, oy vavoy, by accident I was mafagel the carbon, I made a mistake, I'm so sorry. And therefore, your carbon is pigul. These are the chashadi kahuna, these are the bad guys. If you look at Rashi, Rashi's about 8 or 10 lines above where we're holding in the Gemara. It says, Metamenes yodayim midrabanan, chada mishim chashadi kahuna, shechashudin lafagel carbon, mishim eva. Eva means because of sinner because of hatred. We're trying to go and sensitize this kohen and tell him, Chevraman, if you're going to be mafagel somebody else's korban, your hands are going to be tameh. You're going to have to go and wash them. And therefore, you're going to have a gamsa tircha going back and forth, etc. Maybe he'll have second thoughts, and as a result, he's not going to be mafagel the korban. That's what Rashi says over here. There's a very fascinating Rashi on Daf Kuf Chof Aleph that has a brand new svar. And he says that the reason why I'm afraid the kahanim are going to go and be mafagel the korban is because the kahanim are upset about the fact that on your korban shlomim, they only get a chaza v'shoik, only a small amount of this large korban shlomim. And they would like to have a bigger korban for bigger consumption for themselves and for their families, at least for their sons. So what do they do? I'm going to have in mind that this korban is not a shlomim, but it's a korban chatas. It's a korban chatas that's going to belong to the kahanim. I can go and eat it lock, stock, and barrel. And that's the chashad kahuna, that they're going to be upset that they get such a small little portion of the chaz of a shaykh. And they want a larger portion, and that's why they're being mefakel. That's what it says in Rashi. On Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, we are blessed not only with Rashi, but also the Rashbam on the Amud. And the Rashbam brings his pshat of Rashi, and he says it's hard to understand that pshat of Rashi, because pigel is not defined as changing from shlomim to chatas. That's called shinui koidish. That's not called pigel. But the Gemara is referring to pigel. So Muzman Zong, that according to Rashi, the term pigel over here is used somewhat loosely. If you want to turn just for a short moment to Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, even those of you that are using the art scroll, it's in the same volume. You don't have to pick out another volume. It's all the way, it's the last blot in Masechtas Pesachim. We'll get there shortly. On Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, you'll see at the top of the Amid, you have the same Gemara as what we have here. Chatoni apigel, chatoni anoiser, mandatoni apigel mishim chashodei kahuna, says Rashi on the top, third line, mishim chashodei kahuna, gozru olav toma, shelo yefagluhu berotsoin lahapsed esabalim, we're afraid that they're going to try to go and cause damage to the owners. The oid, the shlomim heim, vein lekoyin behen ela choz v'shoik, the yishchatim b'meizel l'shem chatos, I don't want just a lousy chaz of a shaykh. I want the whole carbon to eat. That's what Rashi says here on the top. Now, if you go down to the Rashbam down below, it's not that far down. You see the third line of the Rashbam. Mishim chashari kuna. Gozru chom tumishli yifaglu pirrotso in lahafsir esabalim. The yoimu, and they will say, shogigim hayinu. We're not responsible to pay. We did it as a mistake, an accident. Rabbeinu Pirish, Oitam Acher. Rabbeinu is referring, of course, to Rashi. Levisha Shlomim Hain. Vein Lekoyin Behen Elechoz Vishoik. Vishchatim Bemezashim Chatos. Keva Oichlan Kulan. That's almost a direct quote from Rashi, almost word for word. Veloin Ahira. Dein Pigalab Vishoich Lamas Lechel Mimenechutz Lizmanoi. Vashoichet Shlom Lishim Chatos. Ein Kan Pigal. You're not being mafagel the carbon. All you're doing is a shinoi koidish. Shinoi koidish from a shlom to a chatas. It's even a kosher carbon. So it's not really pigle. So, is a machloik is Rashi and Rajbam, how you learn pshat and hagemara. The bottom line is, the chachomim were mesakin tumah both by pigle and by nois. And we continue here right on pei hey amen aleph. And then the Gemara tells us further that
when Kodesh, it was a shlomim, and now he has kavana for a chatas. It takes on the characteristics of a chatas, or it remains a shlomim and just
it remains a shlomim, and it's a kosher carbon, because as Barry will quote for you, kol hazvachim shenizuch shloim leshman ksheirim. Except for Pesach Chatas and the Blazer, all to the din of
Avashah.
Exactly.
So what do they gain? Because it's still a Shlomim.
Mm-hmm. They still not. They still don't get the chaz of the chaz of a show. They didn't convert it into a chatas. So they haven't gained. Nobody gained here.
The halachically, you're absolutely right. But the reason, their motivation in doing so was because they were gluttons, and they said, I want to eat more, and that's why I'm changing into a chatas. Afterwards, when he comes to go and cut it up into a chatas, the other kahanim say, what was this real carbon? Balaam, what was the carbon? It was a shlamim. I'm sorry, my friend.
So it was a kohen amar haaretz. He was not only not a nice guy, he was also an amar haaretz.
Number one, or number two, he was hoping through some sort of trickery or treachery, he'd be able to deceive everybody and say, what are you talking about? This is not a Nishlam. Balaam went to Ray, he went home, he's not here anymore. Let's go and cut up a rachatas and let's start roasting it and let's start eating it as a karm chatas. Of course, if we are able to find out that this is a deceptive, treacherous kayim, then we'll give it back to the Balaam and we'll tell him it's a shlam. But he's hoping that the Balaam fell asleep or went away and he's going to come back later, etc., etc. But you're right. Halachically, he has not accomplished anything because it's still a Torah Shlom. Obviously, he's a bad guy, and that's why he's called a Chashadi Kahuna. Anyway, continue Zimar. Mar Masni Kzayis and Mar Masni Kedaya. These two, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, they did have a machloikis, not Legabi Chashadi and Legabi Atzale, because as we said, one is talking about Pigle, one is talking about Noiser, but when we did have a machloikis, is what is the Shiur? What means what's the shear? For instance, the Gabi the Pigle, that he had in mind to go and eat tomorrow from this carbon, and therefore he was mafagel, did he have in mind a kizayis, or did he have in mind a kibay? Or the same thing applies to noiser. Did he leave over beyond this man a kizayis or a kibay? For what purpose? For the purpose of being metame es hayodayim. Mar masti kizayis, mar masti kibaya. Man de masti kizayis ki isurai. Just like when would you be over the isur of eating pigle or eating noiser that chas v'shalom you would get kares? Only if you eat a full kizayis. Similarly, when is a metame yasiyodayim? Only if you're talking about a kizayis. Because the chachamim, when they were mesakim, the din of tumas yodayim, they did it just like the isur of eating. It is because I. Meaning that normally when are oichlin metame, when do they transmit tuma to other oichlin? Only if you have a kshir kibaya. If you don't have a kshir kibaya, you cannot be metame other oichlin. So just like universally the halacha is a kibaya is metame, here too by the tumas yadayim, a kibaya will be metame. So we have a machloikis whether it's a kezayis or a kebeya, and we're going to focus on that shortly once again. So now, Iboilu, let's come back to our din of Yotze. Yotze goes Rabban and Tuma, Oiloi. Aha, we just got finished saying that both by Pigel and Noisar, the Chachamim instituted a din of Tumas Yedayim. What about Yotze? The carbon or part of the carbon went outside of its gevul. In the case of Kachi Kudishim, outside the Azara. In the case of Kachim Kalim, outside Yushalayim. What happens if I touch now that Yotze? Do my hands become Tameh? Mi Amrina Noiser, the Gozru Tumah, the Asi Liat Tzulebeh. When it's talking about the din of Noiser, because of the Atzlanim, those people that are lazy. Aba Yotze, Afukum Bidayim, Le Mafkele Bidayim, after all, even lazy people, why would they go and take their carbon and take it outside the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Azara, or outside Yerushalayim? After all, there is no Atzlonis involved, so therefore it goes by Rabbanan Tuma. Or maybe it makes no difference. So Gemara wants to know whether by Yotze they also have that same Gzeir. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't ask. L'choyre, because the Chashadei Kahuna, if they want to be bad guys, they can go and take the carbon outside. And maybe the answer to that is that the Balaam would stop him. So I don't have to worry about him going and schlepping it outside. Especially if you're talking about Kochim Kalim, by that time the Koyin is long removed from the process. He's in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yisrael has taken his carbon home. He should make sure not to go and take it beyond the boundaries of Yerushalayim. So if someone were to take it beyond the boundaries of Yerushalayim, or the boundaries of the Azar, it's become now possible beyond, say, The question is there a din of tumah? Is tashima? Let's go back to the Mishnah that we're talking about before. Part of the Eva went outside. What you have to do is cut away the meat until you hit the etzem, to hit the bone. And now cut away the bad meat and put that aside for burning. The koilef and the remaining meat, which is the kosher meat on the bone, go and peel it off the bone. Achamagila perak, until you finally get to the joint. And then you cut off the bone at that point. Don't cut the bone, but you cut the joint, and now the bone is released. So if you're going to go and say that the chumur goes a tumah on parts of the carbon that became possible, be yoytzei gichotech lemehava, what benefit do you have by cutting off that meat? Hakametamale, is it metama the remaining meat that is still on the bone or still on the carbon? Yes, you've successfully cut away the bad meat, but that bad meat became tame biyotze, and therefore it was metame the other part of the meat that was still on the bone. So yes, you've done a great job in severing and separating the two, but the remaining meat that's there is still tame, and so therefore the choyer, I haven't accomplished anything. Elamai is the choyer raya that there is no din of tumas yadayim by yotze. Ever the Gemara, the reason why it's not metame the rest of the meat is because tumastorim, tumastorim le metame. What is the concept tumastorim? Says Rashi, for one ochel to metame another ochel, there has to be clarity in vision, that you're able to go and point with your finger and say, oh, this part is tame, and this part is becoming tame as a result of the transmission of the tumah. However, if you cannot tell, that's called Tumas Beis Starim, Loi Metami. If you look at Rashi, about five lines higher than we were holding in the Gemara, Mishani Tumas Beis Starim, Kol Maga Chibur Beis Starim, Shein Mokem Magoi Nira. You cannot see where they are touching the bad and the good. The Tumas Beis Starim, Kol Maga Chibur Beis Starim, Shein Mokem Magoi Nira, the Tumas Beis Starim, Nafkul Masechus Nida, the Loi Metami. How do I know? You have to be able to see it. So bottom line is, even if there is a din of tumas yadayim, based on the fact that that part that went out became tamei biyotze, it will not be matame the rest of the meat because of the fact that it's tumas star. Frank Timura, Ul Ravina, the Amar Chiburi Oichlin Lav Chiburhu, who commanded Mefrisigami, my Ikla Meimer. Ravina says that when do I say the din of tumas starim? That's only if it's one piece that is not destined to be cut up into smaller pieces. However, if I have an ochel, which by definition I'm going to go and cut into smaller pieces, even though temporarily or tentatively it's still mechubur, that's not considered to be a chibur. Or command the mifrasi dummy, it's as if right now, as I'm looking at the meat, as if they've already been severed. Meaning this is not called stumastarim. We deem the meat to be severed. But even though we deem them to be severed, but they're nevertheless, they're touching one another. So it's as if I have two separate pieces of meat, one which is the yotze meat, and one which is the kosher meat, and the two now are touching one another. My ikal meimer. One is touching the other, and I don't say tumas beis starimi, since it's a chibur oichlin which is about to be severed and about to be cut, and therefore says the Gemara, according to Ravina, it should be metame. So to my leman demasti kazayis, let's be kazayis, leman demasti kibeya, let's be kibeya. Says the Gemara, al korchach, we have to go and say that perhaps the yotze is tamei after all, and the reason why it's not netamei the rest of the meat, I'll tell you why. Because the amount of the yotze meat was a small amount of meat. Either it was less than a kezayis, and according to Mandiyama that the minimum is kezayis, I don't have a kezayis. Or it was less than a kebeya, and according to Mandiyama they have the kebeya, it's less than a kebeya. Since it's less than a kezayis, less than a kebeya, it doesn't have the shear, That's why it cannot be metame the rest of the meat, even according to the Man Yomer that holds kiman de mifrisi dami, that it's not a tumas based astonim. It's as if it's two separate entities. A maisa, therefore, we still cannot be poshet our shaila whether there is tuma instituted by the chachamim on yotzei. So let's try to bring another right. Toshima. Yes, yes.
So it's that they're not touching. I don't know.
It's not that they're not touching. They're not connected by an umbilical cord. But touching, they're touching. Like the Gemara says, the Kanoga Badodi. If you hold Tumas Beis Astarim, it means it's one long cord, and therefore it's a Tumas Beis Astarim. According to Ravina, it's as if you have separate links, and you can tell where each link begins and where it ends, but they are touching, and therefore it is metame, but it's not a mysterious where is the tumma, I don't see it, because since we're about to go and cut this, and in the case of here of the noiser of the yotze, of course I'm going to go and cut it, because I'm not allowed to eat the yotze. So it's as if it was already cut, but it's still touching, and therefore it is metame. Toshima hamoitzi basim pesach michabur lechabur afu bishu b'loi sese tohar. What is this all about? We said already in the Gemara, and it says in the Pasuk, that you're not allowed to go and take out your basar korban Pesach from your chabura. The Loshon HaPasuk is, if you look at Ois Aleph, b'bayis echot yeyochel lo yisoytzi min habayis min habasar chutzah. You're not allowed to go and take the korban Pesach outside of the house, min habayis. However, the Gemara is going to dash in the Yom Bay, since it says menabayis, menabasar, chutzah comes to include not only taking it out of the house, but taking it out of your chabur. Which means, what happens if you have in the same house two separate chaburis, one lemushel in the dining room and one eating in the kitchen or in the living room, make it better. So if you happen to be the chabura that's eating the dining room, you stay in the dining room. If you happen to be from the chabura in the living room, you stay in the living room. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to go and visit one the other. You're allowed to. But don't take any korban Pesach from the dining room to the living room, or the living room to the dining room, because those are two separate chaburas. Each one has their own korban Pesach. Why can't I? And so you state in the Torah. Don't take it out. If you do take it out from chabura to chabura, you're oivra and iser lav. But what happens to that basar? It remains tohar, says the Braisa. Even though you're over alav, it remains tohar. So to my love, tohar be osur. L'choira, when it says that it's tohar, but it's also osur to eat. Why is it osur to eat? The yoyte mechabur lechabura ki yoyte chutz l'mechitasi dami umifso v'afilo hachi ketani tohar. What is the Gemara trying to do now? The Gemara is trying to bring a raya to be poshet ar shayla and say that when it comes to the din of yotzei, the chacham did not institute a din of tumah, because I have a parallel halach of yotzei, not of yotzei chutz li azara or chutz li Yerushalayim, but chutz la chabura. And it says befeirish that it's tahar, and therefore vafilu hachik tani, that it's tahar. Almule goes rabban and tumah. And therefore we see the chacham were not goyzer tumah by chabura l'chabura. So presumably the same thing would apply yoytzei chutz l'mechitzasai, outside Yerushalayim, that it would also not go and be metame. The tumah lie. You have no right. It's tohar umutter. The yoytzei mechabura l'chabura lav ki yoytzei chutz l'mechitzasai dami v'loy mifso. Even though the person had been oiver and iser lav when he took the basar out of his chabura to another chabura, he was tak oiver lav, but the basar remains kosher. You can still eat it, and that's why it's tahar. Masha enkin, the basar that goes chutz li Yerushalayim, then it becomes posel biyotze, and perhaps it becomes tameh. Freki mora, that doesn't sound right. Vokatoni seifa oichlich hari zebeloi sese. It says in the Brisa, a person who eats it, he's oiver beloi sese. Oh. So it's not only being motzi mechabur lechabur you oiver lav, but if you eat it, you're oiver lav. So I see that there is an isur, and nevertheless I say that it's tohar. So say the same thing applies to a classic yotze. When you leave Yerushalayim, itaka becomes posel. You're not allowed to eat it lechoyer, but it remains tohar. So we can push it arshayla. Says the Gemara, you know what you could answer perhaps is that this Bryce is talking about a case. Why is it Tohir? Because it goes according to Maliyama that holds that the Isser of Tumas Yadayim is Bekebeya, and it's talking about the Isbe Kazayis, that we didn't have a din of a Kebeya. Now you're not allowed to eat from it, because when it comes to Achila, the minimum is a Kazayis, like Kola Teira Kula. But the Gabi Tumma, it's got to be a Shir Kebeya, according to that Mandiyama, and it doesn't have a Shir Kebeya, and that's why it's Tohir. The less pay kibaya. Elamandiyama kazayis mayikalameim, according to Mandiyama, that holds it both for the eating and for the tumas yadayim, both of them have a din of the kazayis. No, if I'm not allowed to eat it because there's a kazayis, then the choydet should be metame. Yet it says that it's tohir. Is the choydet shtar karayi, says our Gemara, that yotze is not metame. Says Gemara, ever. Be yotze mepesach lumi boy lundle goes to the bun and tumma. When it comes to Karban Pesach, if you're talking about Mechabura Lechabura, there is no Tumas Yadayim. My time of Bnei Chabura is reason hang, or Mrs. Zahiri Bey. As soon as any one of the Bnei Chabura stands up and he wants to go and ask Akasha to the other people in the other Chabura, Akasha on the Manishtana, Akasha in the Haggadah, he wants to say over a beautiful word, he wants to toast them with a Koishal Yayin, everybody will say to him, Yankel, be careful, don't take over any Karban Pesach. If you take over any Karban Pesach, Chas V'Shalom, you're going to be over alive. Everybody will nizer, everybody was reasoning, you don't have to worry. And that's why it says Tohar, they didn't have to be concerned about making a special gezeira of instituting Tumah. What about the Kodshim? In other words, not a Karban Pesach, regular Kodshim. You don't eat a Bechabura. And so therefore, you have to be concerned if you take any part of it outside of Yerushalayim, Chas V'Shalom, it's going to become possible Yoytze. Then the Chachamim institute a din also that's Matamis Yadayim to Timur Teiku. I cannot be poishit because I have no raya one way or the other. So it lies a sofik. Now that we started talking about the din of Moitzi Basim Pesach, the Gemara explores that a little bit. Moitzi Basim Pesach Mechabur Dechabur Afreiti Gemara Minayim. How do I know that this is an Isser Lav? The sign it says in the Pasuk. How do I know if you have two chaburais in the same house that you're not going to take mechabura lechabura? Don't take it outside the makom achila. If you do, you're over an iser lahav. Omer Bami, hamoitzi baser pesach mechabur lechabur enechay vachiniach achiniach. You know when you're going to be over. When you take it from one chabura to the other, when you put it down. So if the person is eating a piece of Karban Pesach, he's holding in his hand, and he walks mechabura lechabura, and he's talking to everybody, and he's holding a piece of Karban Pesach with his fork, and he doesn't put it down on the table or on the floor, he'll be potter. Because the only chayiv when you put it down. Why? Because since the whole mekoyer of the iser is loy soitzi, it's an iser hoitza. Oh, hoitzok simbeke Shabbos. My Shabbos had the obed akira v'anocha. Afachanami had the obed akira v'anocha. And akira he obviously made because he picked up the Karban Pesach from the table, from his plate, from wherever he picked it up. And now he's taking it over to the other chabura. Make sure you don't put it down. If you don't put it down, you'll be off the hook because you have to do an akira v'anocha. Frank Timor Moser Rabba Bar Ma'amel. What is this all about? We're leaving Hilchos Karban Pesach for a moment, and we're now talking about the Purim Hanisrafim, like the Par Visor Yom Kippurim, the Par Helm Davishal Tzibur, Par Koine Mashiach, that you have to go and burn Mechutz Lamachne. Al Shefach Hadeshen Yisarev. You have to go and take it out, Chutz L'machne, and burn it there on the Shefach Hadeshen on the third, after all three Machnois, Chutz Yerushalayim, on the times of the Mishkan, Chutz Mimachne Yisrael, all the way out, and that's where you burn the Par Menesraf and the Seir Menesraf. Okay. Now there's another pasuk that says that when you are Yoitzi El Michutz L'machne, and then it says Vesorah, and then you're supposed to go and burn it. And Rashi brings from a Gemara in Masechtas Yuma that there's apparently a stira. One pasuk says you take it out chutzli. Shovish machnois. The other pasuk sounds like even if you take it out of one machna, make up your mind. And the Gemara tells us that ultimately you do burn it michutz lisholish machnois. The purpose of that other pasuk chutzli machna achas is to tell you that as soon as you take the carbon, this the parim anisrafim, sinim anisrafim, you are taking them outside their base of Mikdash. As soon as you leave the first machna, in this case the first machna means as soon as you leave the Azara, because that's the machna Yisrael, what's the halacha? It's metame begodim. Now why is it metame the begodim of the kehanim that are taking out this carbon? Because it says in the pasuk, v'asoyref oisa yechaves begodim amayim, that the person who takes out the carbon to burn, he has the din of kibbutz begodim. So now, solka daita chamina, that the din of kibbutz begodim would only apply after you are on the mokoyim chutz l'shalosh machnois, you're about to burn it, and maybe you're engaged in burning, then it becomes din of kibbutz begodim. Kamash mulan, the other pasuk that says yoytzi mechutz l'machne, when you go out mechutz one machne, even though you're not anywhere close to burning, nevertheless you're metame begodim already at that point. So that's the Mishnah of the Braisa that we're quoting. Mosav rebaber b'mamel hu yisoyvlan oyson, they were schlepping it, they were carrying out the parim anisrafim, the seirim anisrafim, the moitois, on such long poles. Harishoinim yotzu, as soon as the first ones that are schlepping leave chutz l'chaymes azara, they're already outside of the azara, on the way to going outside Yerushalayim. V'achrenim liyotzu, but there's still some kanim inside the azara, they haven't left yet. Harishoinim etam v'godim, immediately on the spot. V'achrenim etam v'godim, until they leave the azara. That's what it says. Freitim of aleinach, didn't you just go and tell me that when am I concerned about the dinim of hoitzah is dafke noch? And here by the par menesrafim there also is a loshen v'hoitzi es hapar michutz lamachne v'hoitzi, you have to be moitzi. Ah, didn't we just say a moment ago that there's a principle wherever it says v'hoitzi, it comes to tell you that you're only over ad she noch? That's what Reb Ami said. So just like moitzi basim mi pesach lepesach, you're only chayev when you're noch. So the chayrid should only have a din of tumas begodim when it's noch, but it's not noch. It's going. Hefdimar hu moitzi lo mufarik lo b'nigrorin. Negrorim, says Rashi, negrorim al gabi karka de ikah hanocha. It's not hoisted up on their shoulders, it's schlepping on the ground. Since it's schlepping on the ground, so every moment, if you stop it at that moment, boom, it's noch, it's lying on the ground. Noch doesn't mean that it's permanently at rest, noch means that it's on the ground. It's on the ground. That's why the tumah attaches immediately. Now, it sounds a little bit strange that you're talking about karbonis, would you go and schlep them on the ground? Isn't that a shtikl bizoyin kodshim? So in fact, if you look at the second toisvis, toisvis says, lav dafka negron. We don't mean mamish schlepping on the ground. Elishiyu toich gimel lekarka. Aha. The filler abundant, we keep it less than kudim shon kadamia. Bizoyrik. That's by zoyrik. Mamava toich gimel moidi. Everybody agrees that if it's within the three tvachim from the ground. So therefore, when they were carting out the parim anisrafim, the seirim anisrafim, they were taking it on low-lying moitais, these low-lying poles. The carbon itself wasn't touching the ground, but it was within three tvachim from the ground. So therefore, it's deemed to be as if it's noch al gabi karka. And therefore, even according to Rabbani, you would be the initial kehanim that are leaving the azara would be metame begodim, because it was noch after all, not noch in the classic sense that it's resting, but noch in the sense that it's on the ground and it's not hovering in mid-air. And with this we concluded that sugya and we start a brand new Mishnah, but the Mishnah is not so brand new because we've already quoted it twice on the Amud Aleph. Part of an Eiver went out of its machne. The machne over here means outside Yerushalayim, so now it becomes posel biyoytze. Choytech, go and cut the flesh that is extending on this Eiver. and the flesh that is beyond that, that went out yotze will be possible. Go and cut that off, set it aside for burning, like all psulei kachim. And choyte kachim agil etzem until he reaches the bone. Don't cut through the bone because of etzem leisish ruvoi, but rather koylev. Now peel off the rest of the kosher basar. At shemiy agil the perek until you reach the joint. V'choytech, and then sever the bad bone, the one that is partially puzzled b'yotze. What are you going to do with that bone? Well, it depends. If there is no marach in it at all, there's no marrow, you can just toss the bone. But if there's marrow, you're going to have to go and burn the bone. That's all when you're talking about the Karban Pesach. U'mikdoshin, if you're talking about regular kodshim, then if part of it went outside, koytis b'kupis, just take one of your big meat cleavers and give it a zetz, go and cut it. Part of the bone that was outside has now been severed. The rest of it is now good. Why are you allowed to do that? Shein ba mishum shviras ha'etzem. Holding a shviras ha'etzem only applies to Karban Pesach, etzem leisish ruvay. But you don't have this din by shar karbanos. And now the Mishnah continues. We want to know, how far does Yerushalayim go? We're assuming that there are Sha'ar Yerushalayim, that there's a gate, just like you have today, around the Eir Atika, you have the wall, and then to enter into the walls of the Eir Atika, you have to go through a gate. They're usually open at all times. But what happens if the gates are closed? We want to know at which point does Yerushalayim extend to. The gates of Yerushalayim open up to the inside. Agaf is that hollow part of the entranceway where when you close the doors, you close the gates go and close and fill up the Mokim Agaf. That's the Mokim Agaf by definition is the thickness of the gates. So if the gate happens to be, l'moshel, a foot thick, then the agaf would be a foot thick, or a foot wide, wide in terms of the side walls, not the width. You could have the opening of the gate presumably is 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet wide. We're just talking about the thickness, if you will, of the mokum agaf. So min agaf v'lefnim, deem, let's assume that the gates are open. So you want to know, until what point can you take your carbon? Only menagaf lefnim, to that point that were the gates closed, you wouldn't be able to take it beyond the gates, because the gates are closed. So therefore, from that point on, lefnim is kilefnim, that's part of Yerushalayim.
That's the ceiling of the door we are talking about. The ceiling of the door.
We don't have to be talking about the ceiling, we're talking about the mokim where the door or where the gate would close and stand in place. What causes the door not to swing back and forth? Typically, as you say, it would be the ceiling, that would be the mashkof, that part at the top, the lintel, that would hold back the door. However, from Rashi and from the Mefarshim, it's mashma, that they didn't only have the door slamming against the upper part, but against the frame as well. In other words, there was some sort of frame that when you would close the door or close the gates, the entire frame would hold the gate in place, and not just the mashkof at the top. So the agaf is that hollow space which, when the gates are closed, that hollow now is full of the gate. And when you open up the gate, then agaf is now open and people can travel through. So from that open space of the agaf alefnim, kilefnim is Yerushalayim, and agaf alechutz, from where that space ends, in other words, for instance, were you to close the gate, beyond the gate and further out, of course, is kilachutz. Now, what is left unsaid, obviously, is what about the thickness of that agaf itself? Is that considered to be in Yerushalayim or outside Yerushalayim? And the Gemara is going to discuss that in another few lines in Mietzvah Shem. Finally, the Mishnah tells us, v'hachaloinos, there were openings in the wall of Yerushalayim. We would call it a window, not necessarily the type of typical windows that we have today, that you have glass up and down. What we really mean is openings in the walls of Yerushalayim. They may have had shutters to go and close them at night or whatever, but these were openings in the wall. So what happens if your Korban Pesach is within those openings? For Oyviyachoyma, as well as the thickness of the wall. Now, we're not talking about the thickness of the wall where you go in and out, because that we've just discussed already at some length, but rather we're talking about on top of the walls. Let's assume that the wall of Yerushalayim is 3 or 4 feet wide, and a person wants to eat the Korban Pesach at night romantically under the stars, under the moon, and therefore his chabur is now eating on the top of the wall. That top, and by the way, of course, this is not only talking about Korban Pesach, this also applies throughout the year by any Korban Shlomim or any Kachim Kalim that you can eat throughout Yerushalayim. Were you to go and eat it on top of the wall, Kilifnim, that's as if it's still inside, even though underneath where you're sitting, if that happens to be the place where the gates open and closed, if you go to the edge of the wall, you'd already be beyond the Agaf, you'd be beyond Yerushalayim. But that's only down below. But up above, you're still within Yerushalayim, because the entire Oyvei HaChoyma is Kilifnim. We're going to talk about that distinction between on top of the wall and in the hollow of the entranceway. That's going to be Mitchum tomorrow's Gemara on the very bottom of the Yom. We're going to talk about the Agaf in a moment. Zok the Gemara, Om Rav Yudah Om Rav. The same halacha that we said, Legabe, make sure that you're within the Agaf and not outside the Agaf for purposes of Yotzei. The same thing applies to Chen Letfilah. If somebody wants to be mitztaref to a minion of 10 people, make sure he's within the Agaf and not beyond the Agaf, because if he's beyond the Agaf, he can no longer be mitztaref. So if they were a plea, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi, I feel a machitza shel barzel, and a mafsek is ben Yisrael, avim shem b'shamoyim, that even if you have a wall made out of iron, it's not mafsek, and therefore you can have a person inside the Agaf and a person outside the Agaf, and they can still be mitztaref, because of this principle, that nothing is mafsek ben Yisrael, avim shem b'shamoyim.
As we think, the iron curtain, it was appropriated from this.
Uh-huh. So thank you, Brother Shai, for reminding us. Brother Shai is reminding us that my father, Zichron Levracha, once wrote a letter to the New York Times, because there was an article in the Times that said that the term iron curtain was a term that was coined by Winston Churchill, that he said that now there's an iron curtain that is developed between the communist countries, especially within Berlin, and between the communist countries and the Western countries, is an iron curtain in between. And then my father wrote that this was not coined by Winston Churchill, this is already a Gemara from the Machitza Shel Barzel. And this letter became, today they would say, became viral, because it was reprinted even in the German press, in other words, internationally, that Machitza Shel Barzel, iron curtain, is a term already used in the Talmud. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Zokti Yimara, let's go back to the Agaf of the Mishnah. Hagufa Kasha, Amris ben Agaf, Lefnim, Kilefnim. We're saying from the Agaf and into Yerushalayim, that's Yerushalayim. Ha Agaf Asmai, what about that space which is occupied by the gate when the gate is closed? It sounds like Kilechut. Good to say, make sure you stay with your Korban Pesach, ben Agaf, Lefnim. So Agaf itself apparently is outside. But that space of the Agaf in between is Kilifnim. So don't I have a seder between the Reish and the Seifa? Make up your minds. What's the status of the Agaf itself? After all, we're talking about the din of Yotzei. Yotzei applies both when it goes outside the Azara, and Yotzei applies when it goes outside Yerushalayim. So what's the difference between the two? The Shari Azara, the Lechutz, we are going to be Medayik from the Sefer. Men Agaf Lechutz, Kilechutz, or Agaf Atzmoy, Kilefnim. But the Shari Yishalayim, Kilechutz. What are you talking about? What's the difference between Shari Azara and Shari Yishalayim? See, Mark explains. The Yom Rishon Barav Yitzchak, the name Malo Neskachu Shari Yishalayim, the Shari Yishalayim, if you brought your korban into the Agaf, be careful. It did not have Kedushas Yerushalayim. Make sure that you leave your korban bifnim. So therefore, the first part of the Mishnah that says Min Agaf Lefnim Kilefnim, but the Agaf Atzmei Kalachut is talking about Shara Yerushalayim. Why is that talking about Shara Yerushalayim? Because the Yidin Yerushalayim had Rachmonis on the Mitzrayim. As you know, the Mitzrayim were the only people that were Nishtaleach Chutz L'Sholesh Machnois. Now, these guys in Nebuch were on their own, outcasts from society. What happens about the climate throughout the year? There are days when it's sunny, there are days when it's raining, and there are days perhaps when it's also snowing. So what are these Mitzrayim going to go and do? So they have to have some shelter. So we had Rachmanis Nebuch on these Mitzrayim, that Megin, Nochmum, and Neymadle Niskachu, Shari Shalim, and Nisha Mitzrayim, Meginim, Tachteim, Bechamim, Neachamu, Bechshamim, Neachsham. They could stand in that hollow space underneath the walls of Yerushalayim, meaning up to and including the Agaf. Why? So that you should have a little shelter from the sun or from the rain or from the elements. And that's why they were only Mekadesh from the Agaf Lefnim. I mean, that's already Yerushalayim itself. That's beyond the Agaf. But the Agaf itself, they left as if it was Chutz Yerushalayim. So therefore the Mitzrayim could reizach over there and stand there and sit there and don't have to worry about the climate. However, that's only the Gabbay the Shari Yerushalayim. The Gabbay the Shari Azora, there they were Mekadesh the Agaf, and therefore you could go and keep your kodshim not only within the Azara, but within the Agaf space as well. Just make sure not to go beyond the Agaf space, because if you go beyond the Agaf space, then it's going to become posul beyotzei. Says Yomar Amr Shul Barab Yitzchak that all the Shari Azara were niskachu, including the Agaf. You didn't have the problem of the Mitzrayim, but Sharnikna was an exception to the rule. Sharnikna, as you know, was the Shar that opened up to the Azora. So that Agaf space, the people could stand, even a Mitzrayim could stand, after he went through his initial processes of becoming Tohar. What are those initial processes that we're talking about? So if you look at Rashi, about 7-8 lines into the wide lines, that Meiman Liniskadsha Shar Nikanor, Bikdushis Azara, Vushar Hamizrochisho Azara, that's the Shar Mizrahi. That's when the Mitzrayim Oimdim Sham, the Yom Shmoinali Mei Sephora, on the 8th day after they counted, Achshin Nisrape, after he was Nisrape, meaning that his leprosy, his Tumas Taras left him, and the Kohen says that you are now Tahar. He counted 7 days. V'gilach, and he did it to Glachas, he removed all his hair. V'toval, and he went to the Mikvah. Herav Shimshoi B'Shmi, and he had Herav Shemesh. The only thing that he's left now is V'edenim Chusay Kippurim. He has to go and bring his Karbonos on day number 8. And among his Karbonos, of course, is the Asham Mitzoyer. And the Asham Mitzoyer is very special in the sense that they took some of the blood from the Asham, and they had to go and place it on the fingers, on the thumbs, as well as on the boyin, as well as on the oizen. So it says, "V'tani b'koymitz mechusar kipurim shenichlas la'azara oin shekaris." If the material would walk into the azara itself, chas v'sholem, he would get karis. Menafkalon, even though he's no longer a mitzayra, he's a mechusar kipurim. All to Einish Karis. Then Afkalon me oit to Masa Boy from a special posse to Mistaleim. So what does he do? Amachas Yara Bisham the Azara. Losses Aleim me Dam Ho Osham. He puts his fingers into the Azara to put the Dam Ho Osham on. She'ilu Moitzir L'chutz. If the Kohen were to go and take the Dam Ho Osham and extend it outside the Azara to where the Mitzayra is standing, Hainifl Beyoitze. The blood would become possible. Ah, you're telling me that the Mitzrayim is putting his fingers in? We don't go and give him an oinish for putting in his fingers. That's the way you got to do it, to go and put the Dama Osha. Inami, Shmobi, anybody going to tell me that under normal circumstances, if he puts his fingers in, he would be oiver? That's the way you got to do it. So bottom line is that all the She'orim of the Azara were niskachu, with the exception of Sharniknar, because the Mitzrayim had to stand there and put in his behind his yad to go and get the benefit of the dam oshem that's being put on the brain. So the Teretz Gemara is kasha. We ask the Sira that it sounds from the Reisha that only agaf alefnim is Yerushalayim, but the agaf is chutz Yerushalayim. The Sefer said when agaf alechutz is out, but it's mashu that the agaf mokum is in. Oh, so it depends if you're talking about Yerushalayim, you're talking about the Azara. So talking about the Azara, that's the Reish of the Mishnah, that the agaf lefnim and kilefnim, that's all considered to be, has the Kedusha, including the agaf itself. Masha Enkin, the Gabi Yerushalayim, the agaf of Yerushalayim, did not have Kedusha. Why didn't have Kedusha? Because we wanted to have a place for the Mitzrayim to be able to stand there to get shelter from the weather. Any kashas, Rabbi, any questions?
Yes, we're just the mechanics. The Mitzrayim would stand Shar Nicanor.
Correct.
They'd stand within the agav of the Shar, and they put their bohon into the Azara then.
That's right, they would extend it beyond the entranceway into the Azara. So only has his finger there, not the rest of the body.
So there'd be a line, I guess, drawn somewhere. He'd have to be careful not to go past the lines. There must have made a sikra.
I would assume so. There was a sikra of sorts, right, exactly. There had to be a line of demarcation where they told him, stand over here, put your fingers over there, but don't go beyond that.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Yes, Barry.
Yeah, first of all, what time tomorrow? Tomorrow we're davening at 20 to 7, normal Monday time.
Okay.
What time do you want to daven? What time do you want to learn tomorrow?
It's up to you. 8 o'clock is good. 8:05 is good. 8:10 is good. Whatever works
for you. 8 o'clock is, I mean, there's nothing beyond normal Kriyas Torah. So okay. 8 o'clock is certainly doable.
Okay, Brother Shah, you're happy with that?
Yeah, even 7:45, but 8 o'clock is great.
Well, 7:45, you're only finishing davening at about 7:40 or so.
That's true. Okay.
And you have to give yourself 10, 15 minutes to go home and unwind and take a cup of coffee or whatever, right? Okay, so if 8 o'clock works, the Mitzvah will continue 8 o'clock through Wednesday. Everything being well, Rabbi Yisai, I hope to be back in shul Thursday morning. Yes?
Wait a second.